Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Corinthians 13. We got some work to do. Thank you, Lord. You know, praising and worshiping and dancing, you see how the atmosphere changes as soon as you begin to dance? You know why? You shoo away all those demons. You know? But see, the ones that are not dancing, they go right to them, so you got to be careful. The ones that aren't praising and worshiping, they're looking for a place to hang out. Oh, to God be the glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but not have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is what? Kind. Love does not what? Make sure you underline these here things. Love does not what? Envy. It suffers long. It's kind. Does not parade itself. Woo-hoo. Is not what? Puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Whoa. In other words, is not offended. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now we know that God is love, isn't he? Amen? But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And we know that that's going to come, isn't it? But it's not now, is it? For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then all that which is in part will be done away with. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what God is trying to do with us right now. He's trying to bring us to a place where childish things are put away. Now, where are they? Speaking like a child, understanding like a child, and thinking like a child. Three areas. The Lord is saying, it's time to remove this childish foolishness. And it's time to grow up. Now, what he's talking about here also, he says, listen, without love, love is a sign of maturity. You remember what we just read? It says, love suffers long, is kind, love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, doesn't behave rudely, doesn't seek its own, isn't provoked, and thinks no evil. Doesn't rejoice in the association of iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. That's love. That's maturity. See, God wants to bring us to a place where we come away from the childish things and begin to master love. Because why? When you've mastered love, you are now walking in maturity. Now, today's teaching is called touching maturity. Okay? Love is a sign of maturity. Maturing in love is overcoming fear. Because fear is a sign of immaturity. Is everybody with me? Everyone say it. Fear is a sign of immaturity. love is a sign of maturity. Now, it doesn't mean that you have perfected all things. It means that you may be mature in some areas, but immature in others. Amen? So, did you ever notice someone, man, you know, somebody gets something, and it's like, praise God, you got it. In other words, you don't want to say you matured in it, but you know what they've done? They've touched maturity. You know, think about how many times that somebody's touched maturity. Maturing in something says you mastered it. Amen? But when you touch it, as an individual goes up and down and up and down, he touches maturity or she touches maturity, but then goes back to the other way again. There's a difference of walking in maturity and touching it. Is everybody with me? And it's so important that we become to a place where we begin to master certain things. Why? Then you, when you master it, you're maturing it. You won't be moved in it, will you? You know that you know that you know, and there's nothing going to change you no matter what happens. You just know. That's when you master it. And see, mastering love is a sign of maturing. Fear is a sign of immaturity. Everybody okay? So God wants to bring us out of this childish thinking, this childish understanding, and these childish thoughts, and, you know, especially things that we speak. You know, somebody can't master their tongue, they're not, they're what? Immature. Amen? Come on, you can hang around with someone, just tell, talk how they, hear how they talk, you know they're immature. Amen? But he even says, you know, even though I speak with tongues and I do this and I do that and whatever, look at, there are believers that I know that are 30 years believing and they're still immature. Why? Because they've not mastered love. And then there are those who have become so, they don't have the balance where they want to walk in all kinds of love. They forgive everyone and whatever, and that's good. But then there's an arena where they're deceived. And they don't know how to take authority. So an individual that can't take authority is immature. Amen? Why? Because the purpose that God is bringing us through these things is so that we become more Christ-like. Jesus was mature, but he wasn't born mature, was he? No. In fact, the Bible tells us that he had to grow. And if he had to grow, so do we. Amen? But as you begin to master love, you find in every area of your life, love must be the response. Even in authority. Hello? Even when you're angry, love still must be the response. Hello? That's maturing, isn't it? But you can't be foolish and be goofy about it. Hello? You know, like the old flower children, you remember that? They loved everything. Oh, we love this, and we love that, and we love evil. Hello, there's a difference there. There's people who want to just say, oh, it's going to be okay. Well, that's dumb foolishness. It's called soulish. Oh, everything, it's okay, you just murdered somebody. It's going to be okay. God will forgive you. You better repent, bonehead. You just killed somebody. You worked out of the flesh. You associated with a demon of murder. First of all, you got to repent and then come to the lover. Yes, God does love you. He will forgive you. But man, you need to repent. Why? Because the blood goes before the spirit. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right now? Let's go forward. 1 John chapter 4. Remember, love is a sign of maturity and fear is a sign of immaturity. And God wants us to come to a place where we are no longer speaking like a child, thinking like a child, and have childlike understanding. Hello. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Glory to God. Would you read it with me, please? Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, Because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, now we have boldness. Why? Because we've become Christ-like. Amen? We've become Christ-like. So you have boldness. Why? Because you're the offspring. You're the heir. Look at the next verse. He clarifies this. He says what? There is what? No fear in love. Speak it again. There is no fear in love. Come on, say it again. There is no fear in love. But what? Perfect love casts out fear. Whoa! Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So there are areas in your life where you have been mastered. Characters. But then there are areas where there's still fear, which hasn't been mastered. Remember, if love, perfect love, casts out fear. And God wants to bring us to that arena. So, perfect love casts out all fear. We are to put away childish and carnal ways and grab hold of maturity in our responses of love. Remember Friday night we talked about and how we respond to things. You're either going to respond according to the will of God or you're going to respond according to the will of man. Amen. So an individual that responds to the will of man, you know, is immature. A person that responds to the will of God, you know, is maturing. Listen, none of us will ever reach the true mature state that God wants to bring us to. But we can get pretty close to it. Amen. Because you will always have stuff. But thank God we got somebody that knows how to get rid of our stuff. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 3. Oh, praise you, Lord. Touching maturity. Oh, how many times have we touched it? Yes. And the devil said, you got it now. Yeah, I got it now. Praise God. And the next test comes and it's like, oh, man. Obviously, I haven't mastered that yet. Right, that means you're still immature. And God will bring it around until you master it. In verse 14. 3:14, is everybody there? And you can't do no butt ministry with daddy. He don't take it. You're not going to do a butt with dad. No, he says, no, come on. It's okay, go ahead. We'll go around this mountain. I'll meet you at the roundest side when you come around again. And you ever sing that song? He'll be coming around the mountain when he comes. Right? Hallelujah. That's what that's what we're saying. I'll be coming around when he comes. I'll meet him around the mountain again. Man, think about all the cycles we go into sometimes. You know, we do that same stupid thing over and over. It's like, man, when am I going to get this? No, it's when you're going to mature in it. What happens is when perfect love is mastered, then you will overcome it. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So we see here that he's talking about the church that thinks it has everything and it's made it. It really hasn't matured yet. But they think that they're mature in all things. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Because they become blinded. Now we know pride blinds, doesn't it? Amen? Pride blinds discernment. So we see here that they thought they made it and so forth, and because they were doing all kinds of things, and well, we've made it, we're mature now, and we can do this and whatever. And the Lord says, no, that's not true, you are lukewarm. And he says something very powerful in 19. He says, ah, as many as I love, I what? Rebuke and chasten. Therefore be what? Zealous. That means hot. Be zealous. And what? Repent. Whoa. You know, one of the things, because God loves us, he rebukes us and chastens us. Some individuals cannot accept that as love of God. I'm going to go to the next one. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who what? Overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So we see that there is a reward, isn't there? Because there is trust. And he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I want to go back again. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous, be on fire, and repent. Rebuke and chastening those he loves. Immaturity runs from correction. It rejects love because of its own standards of what love should be. Is everybody with me? Immaturity rejects correction. It rejects rebuke because it can't receive love because it's bound by an arena what someone expects love to be. So if it doesn't match what they expect love to be, they will not receive it. Does everybody understand that? So they've been bound. They've got this standard what they expect love to be. And because that doesn't come forth, they reject it, they rebel against it, and they can't receive it. Amen? That's immaturity. Just like a child. A child is immature. That's why it needs guidance, doesn't it? The child certainly does not accept or receive a rebuke all the time, or a correction all the time. Why? Because it has its own standard of what love is. Love to them is, give me a lollipop. Love is, can I watch TV all night? You know, that's their standards of love. And what's happened is certain things were imparted in children who become adults, and now their expectations of love is totally different than what God's expectations of love is. So they begin to reject God's love. They can't even receive it. They don't understand forgiveness. They walk in bitterness and anger and envy and jealousy and rage. They walk in pride. They can't walk in humility. Is everybody with me? So we must get rid of these expectations and standards of what the world has labeled what love is. Amen? And come to a place where we no longer act like a child, speak like a child, or think like a child, but become more mature in every area and character. Now, we see here again that love is a sign of maturity and fear is a sign of immaturity. God rebukes and chastens those he loves. Fear always protects anger. Anger protects pride, and pride protects self. So everybody got it. Fear protects anger. Anger protects pride. And pride protects itself. And those three, fear, anger, and pride, are a sign of immaturity. Because it does not produce love, does it? It does not produce love. Go to Ephesians 4, please. Ooh, is it quiet in here today? Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away about with every wind of doctrine, voice of the stranger, and every lust of the world, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, he says, come into the unity of faith, which means like-mindedness. Becoming like-minded. This scripture talks about that you and I were already predestined with a measure of Christ's character. Hello? We are already predestined with Christ, a measure of Christ's character. The reason we don't want to be tossed to and fro by the voice of the stranger, right, is that's a sign of immaturity, isn't it? Do you ever speak with someone and the next thing you know, they turn around and they just totally misunderstood or took what was imparted in them, the devil took it. And they shared with someone else what you just spoke with them and it was totally wrong. That's a sign of immaturity. Why? Because they can't carry a message. Hello. Or it's been altered somehow in some way. It's a sign of immaturity. Here he says we must speak the truth in love. All of these things cause growth in love into the body. So God is trying to bring us into a place where there's like-mindedness. Why? What's he trying to do? You are already predestined with a measure of Christ's character. So he's trying to produce more of his character in us. And his character is love. Love and authority. Love and rebuke. Love and healing. Love and casting out devils. Love and carrying a message. Everything was love, no matter what. His love was perfected. He did not walk in fear. Fear is a sign of immaturity. Love is a sign of maturity. That's why he says, perfect love casts out all fear. Many people are walking in instability in faith. They are unstable. They waver up and down, tossed to and fro. They run from one place to another trying to get fulfillment. Amen. That's why many people run back into the world for fulfillment and they realize, ooh, made a mistake. And then it's too late. And they've done damage to themselves and to others already. And it's just an area of immaturity, isn't it? See, because we're all looking for God's love. I mean, I'll never forget my encounter with the Lord. When the Lord appeared, came to me and took me in the Spirit, I realized, man, it's been you I've been looking for the whole time. Everybody lied to me. Everything was put in my path to try and deter me to another direction than you. But it's you. I've been looking for. And then I realized that booze I used to drink and the dope I used to do and all the other ungodly things, I was looking for love the whole time. I was trying to find love in every area, but in his presence. Because I didn't know. I didn't know there could be such great love. I didn't know somebody could love me so much. See, so when that love touched me, changed me, when I realized that this was God, who God is love. That's why you and I were created, out of love. That was his whole purpose. You and I are in his inheritance. Can you imagine that? God the Father created me and you for his Son. Son, here's your inheritance. Mankind, life, it's yours. And we're his inheritance. Why? Because of love. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. Is it warm in here or is it you? Whew. Hallelujah. You guys radiating the glory of God this morning? Praise God. I'm going to leave here with a tan. First Corinthians chapter 2. And we're starting at verse 1, please. You may read it with me. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, and of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. That's powerful. Now look at this wisdom. Remember, wisdom tells you what to do. You may know what to do. In other words, you may have knowledge. But wisdom tells the knowledge what to do. So everybody got it? So wisdom tells you what to do. Decisions made sometimes out of immaturity. Amen? There are decisions that we've made out of immaturity. Why? Because wisdom has not been matured yet. There are certain areas in our life where we've just not mastered that. And so we make decisions that are immature. Is everybody with me? So that's why I talked about already in the beginning that there's times when we touch maturity, but we've not mastered it in certain areas in our life. But wisdom tells you what to do. So the more you have fellowship with wisdom... Now, practice is important, isn't it? That's why if you keep going over that same mistake, eventually you're going to get the wisdom from God, amen, and not do it again. But if you're not in fellowship with Him and not receiving His love, because see, you can't have something, and this is important, if you can't receive His love in that area, you won't be able to master it. Because love is a sign of maturity, isn't it? And fear is a sign of immaturity. Now, you got to remember, fear is also associated with fears of losing things, fear of man, fear of all kinds, fear of self. You know, some people look in the mirror and get afraid. Maturity is an arena of character in life where there is accountability, responsibility, and faithfulness. Come on, write it. It's an area of character where there is accountability, responsibility, and faithfulness. Again, we talked that a godly response is walking in faith, isn't it? And it's mature. Ungodly response is flesh and immature. Until responses are according to God, not you. Amen? To where your responses are according to God and not yourself. You'll find it. You'll begin to sense either there's an immature arena there or a mature. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, we're there. Hallelujah. First three verses. And brethren, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to what? Carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are what? Envy. So we see this associates with, okay, love does not envy. Amen. Love doesn't cause strife. All of these other. So we see that love has not been perfected, has it? So where love has not been perfected, it's immature. Okay. So Paul was upset with his church in Corinth, and he writes this letter to them. He says, man, what's your problem, man? Come on, grow up. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for even till now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you now carnal and behaving like mere men? Hello? Why? Because of immaturity. Example of immaturity. Envy, strife, division, selfishness, etc. You know. Those are areas of immature. Me, 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 me. Mine, mine, mine. Always self is centered in everything. It's a sign of immaturity. Go to James chapter 1. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? Praise God. You being accountable, responsible, and faithful in turning the pages? Praise God. You're maturing in turning pages today. Hey, look, there's some people that show with no Bible to go into church. It blows my mind. What do you go to church for then? They want entertainment. They come to church. They don't want to take notes. They don't bring a Bible. They just want to sit there and be entertained. That's immaturity. I've been a believer for 45 years, sat in the same seat. It's got my impression in it. Hallelujah. It's too bad it's gone to your head, the impression. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall into various trials. Not if. When. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. That's a sign of immaturity, double-mindedness and instability. Remember that trials are for building Christ's character in you. Circumstances of life, there will always be a response. Amen? Every circumstance in your life is a response to be activated that will either earn the trust of God or not. So every time you're responding to something that's happening in your life, you're either earning the trust of God or not. And in by earning the trust of God, you are maturing, aren't you? Amen? You are maturing. And by that, your responses are because of God's love. God's love. Go to Hebrews 5. Oh, hallelujah. Touching maturity. In verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be what? Teachers or examples. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. He was rebuking them. Because he's saying, man, you were eating solid food right now. You've allowed everything to be taken from you. Now you're going back to milk again. What's the problem? For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. In other words, he's not mature. For he is a what? Babe, like I said, there are believers that I know that are 30 years old, 30 years in Christ, and still babies. And then there are ones that are young in Christ that are more mature in areas than the other ones. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their what? Senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. There's an area of maturity. Amen? There's an area. Why? Because they're not only responding to something, because they're able to discern. See, an area of maturity in your life, you'll be able to discern something. You'll know which way to go. You'll know the correct response that pleases God. And God knows it automatically too. Why? Because you've done it enough times and tested it enough. I'm telling you, God tests you over and over and over and over and over in an area till it becomes perfected in you. Once that area's been perfected in you, he goes to another area. Why? Because he expects us to be perfect because he's perfect. But we are perfect in Christ. We are complete in Christ, aren't we? So what is he doing? He's establishing more and more of his character in us so that everything is associated with what you do and what your response is out of love. Hallelujah. Pride can't discern, right? It blinds the discernment of good and evil. Paul explained that they should be examples that will teach others. You got to remember something. The world looks at you in every area. And believers look at believers. And you are a teacher, whether you want to be or not. You know, I believe that everybody in the body of Christ is called to teach. There isn't just somebody specifically anointed to teach. Everybody's anointed to teach. Everybody's anointed to preach. Everybody's anointed to be an evangelist. Hello. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're anointed to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Far be it that we should put God in a box. But that's why he says, earnestly desire the gifts, doesn't he? Amen? Earnestly desire. Whatever God puts in your heart, that's what you earnestly desire. Now, go to Philippians 3. Hallelujah. We'll get there, okay. Is everybody okay? Philippians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? Verse 12. Would you read it with me? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Well, that's verse 2. Chapter. Oh, is everybody in chapter 3 yet? I'm getting there. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Oh, Paul was humble. But one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are what? Mature, have this mind. What mind? Forgiving, forgetting, and letting go. Going forward. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have become mature, amen, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Maturity learns forgiveness, forgets the past, trusts in God in all things, using what he has learned from his mistakes. Using what he's learned from his mistakes. That's where the scripture comes in. All things work to the good. All things can work to the good. Why? By using what you've learned from your mistakes and putting them into action. That's faith now. Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Starting at verse 1. Everybody there? Good. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. Read it with me. But is under what? Guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. You know, many people lose sight of that. We are brought under guardians, aren't we? Mentors and so forth. Until the time comes where God releases us. The problem is too many people are anxious for all things. That's a sign of immaturity. You know. Amen. Listen, I get requests from individuals, and God already told them what's what. So I get the request, and as soon as I touch it, I know the Holy Spirit sometimes says me, that person I already told. I'm thinking, okay. Did you earn or discern the trust of God? You didn't earn God's trust, did you? Why? Because you already know. So that's a sign of immaturity. Do you understand? Why? But that's a baby. Don't let it be condemning, but learn from it. I mean, because sometimes when I get this, I'll even tell the person, I'll say, the Holy Spirit already told you. Why'd you put this in? Well, it's called manipulation. Hello. It's called manipulation and childlike and immaturity, isn't it? Amen? Now, some don't really know, and they put it in, and they're asking for the direction. Should you think this would be good? You know what I'm saying? And some put it in for confirmation of something. That's different. But when the Holy Spirit has already told you, and you know already, then what you're doing is manipulating, right? Same thing when you go to God and you ask for a request. When you know the Holy Spirit's already spoken to you in your spirit something. You say, well, Lord, if it's your will, and you already know it's not. Sometimes immature individuals try to force God's hand. And if they try hard enough, they'll get what they're asking for. And it becomes a stumbling block to them. And of course, then they blame God for giving it to them. You know, and what he's doing is he's teaching a lesson, isn't he? Amen. He's teaching. You know, an immature area cannot trust. It's immaturity, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Oh, hallelujah. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An area where you become in an arena that you know you are his child and an heir. See, if you know who you are, you begin to mature more. It's when you don't know who you are what moves people into the arena of immaturity. Amen. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Good. Maturity comes out from the entanglements of the world, those who are mature, and is not anxious but waits for direction and confirmation. Does not move ahead of God. Immaturity knows it all. That may sound like, well, that's pride. Well, yes, and pride is also immaturity. Amen? Amen? Because it's not humbleness. Humbleness is maturity. Pride is immaturity. Immaturity knows it all. Calls everything they hear God. Calls itself a soldier without training. Come on. Calls itself a prophet because it's prophesied a few times. And begins to say, well, you know, then uses the immaturity, says, well, you just don't understand me. That's immaturity. Hello? Let me tell you, there are pastors that are immature. There isn't a perfect pastor. There'll be areas where, you know, there isn't the perfect person. Amen? But I've seen people that are in office, and I know that it wasn't God that put them there. They did. I've seen people calling themselves evangelists, and every believer is called to be an evangelist, but they promote their title. That's a sign of immaturity. Then when they do something wrong or whatever, and somebody tries to correct them, they say, well, they just don't understand me. That's a sign of immaturity. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Prophet, well, Mr. and Mrs. Evangelist, well, Mr. and Mrs. Whatever, you know, it's a sign of immaturity, isn't it? Amen? Why? Because immaturity cannot receive correction. Come on, are you with me? Can't receive correction. Even Jesus, when he was a child, was willing to receive correction, wasn't he? The Bible says that he grew, didn't he? Amen? You know, when we were little, children, we used to play, you know, we wanted to be somebody. When we were children, when everybody played and imitated a hero or something, did it. They wanted to be a policeman, a fireman, or whatever. And they began to portray them. But they were not mature yet to fulfill the position, were they? That's even today. There are people trying to portray certain offices of the body of Christ, but they are immature. And they have not put, they've put themselves in it, and God's not. Amen? I mean, when people, listen, there's nothing wrong with, you know, hi, I'm officer such and such. And there's a time to use the title. But when an individual uses a title to manipulate, to promote self and so forth, that is a sign of immaturity. And you know what? I cannot trust an individual to that degree. Because God says, judge by the fruits. The first fruit you always want to look at is humbleness. Humbleness in every area. Person that's humble, you can trust more than any. Why? Because you know if they're humble, they're honest. Amen? They're not trying to portray someone that they're not. That's a sign of immaturity. Is everybody with me? Why? Because they really can't handle the responsibility. There's another area of maturing. And there's a level that an individual reaches where he begins willing and desiring to deny himself. It's a sign of maturing. Sign of maturity. An individual who's obedient in all things. It's a sign of an individual that can see things through. It's a sign of maturing. You know, and it's because why? Because they're becoming like-minded. If you're on a job, and I've used this analogy before, your boss sees that you're maturing in a part that you're doing. So he can trust you. He leaves you because he can trust you. You're maturing it to get it done and see it all the way through. not partial. Amen. He has you begin to run a job because he can see that you can handle all of it and see it all the way through without missing up. He knows that you're going to clean up at the end. He knows that you're going to do all kinds of things just like he would do. That's a sign of maturity. Does everybody understand? Amen. And because they're mature, because of the sign of maturity, trust is earned, isn't there? Amen. But so many times people touch maturity but never master it. Is everybody with me? And we want to come to a place, and God is trying to bring us to a place where we begin to master things, where they become perfected in us. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but things will become perfected. Your level of denying yourself, your level of obedience, your level of humility, your level of willingness, your level is a sign of your maturity. Your level of love, your level of forgiveness, your level of accountability, responsibility, your level of faithfulness. All of these are an arena of maturing. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 2. Luke 2. Hallelujah. Luke 2. Verse 40. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? I'll start at verse 39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child Jesus grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What was he doing? He was maturing, wasn't he? Even though he was growing. Go to 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men. Why? Why was he getting favor of God? Because he was maturing. Amen. He was maturing. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. A couple more scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Verse something. Start at verse 1. Second Thessalonians. I'm sorry. Is everybody in Second Thessalonians? Well, then what am I doing in first? Hallelujah. Starting at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because you're of what? Faith grows exceedingly. Are they maturing? Yes. And the love of everyone you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteousness judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you our troubled rest. With us the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here Paul was promoting. He's saying, man, this is wonderful that you're growing in love. You're growing in faith. What is he saying? You are maturing. Growth is a sign of maturing. Now, that's where stewardships are very important. There's a desire to become a steward of the Lord, a steward of the mysteries and so forth. growth in stewardship, growth in fruits, growth in love, growth in grace, growth in knowledge, all of these things with faithfulness, accountability, and responsibility is a sign of maturity. Is everybody with me? Go to Hebrews 6. In verse 1. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to what? Perfection or maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So what's he saying? He said, come on, let's get on to perfection. We know about laying on the hands. We know about casting out devils. We know about miracles and signs and wonders. We know about the ministry of repentance. We know about these things. Well, let's go on to perfection now. Let's go on to maturity. Let's go on to perfect those areas and the characters in our life that will be pleasing to God and acknowledge an expression of his love in maturity. Let's go on, and I'm going to close in Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Is everybody there? Read it together with me. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Sounds like maturing, doesn't it? Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son and his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Amen. Maturing. We've been touching maturity. Let's begin to master. Amen. Going on to perfection, laying hold of Christ and his character and letting go of childish speaking, childish thinking. Amen. And childish behavior. Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We thank you. And we ask for your forgiveness in all those areas that we've offended you, accountability, responsibility, faithfulness. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness of all those childish things and caught in envy and pride. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And that you'd restore to us the joy of our salvation and our first love. That you'd bring us to the place in the fullness of your love, that we may perfect love and perfect the character that you've given us in Christ. That we may perfect all those areas that you may be well pleased with us. That we may be a sign and wonder for you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Now, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive communion with you.